RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition, the Martin Luther King Day edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
I'm more of a Malcolm X guy, Val, and...
Beans.
Welcome back to another week.
Welcome back. Yeah, it is another week, right? It's a busy week. Today started off the day with this rally in Virginia. For, you know, pro Second Amendment rally, kind of protesting what they're doing there. I've been watching the Breitbart live stream all morning. You? No?
I've been seeing tweets and pictures and all that stuff. But with a little bit, I've been watching. I'll probably be poking around more as day goes on. Is there like an itinerary of events that people are looking out for in particular, speakers, stuff like that? I don't know too much.
So they cordoned off where the actual rally is, Frank. Like, and they said you can't bring firearms in there. So
yeah, it's another one of those freedom zones, right?
Yeah, where you're very, very free. You're free to.
you're free to be brought in through one entrance like a cow and searched by federal or state agents, disarmed, and then placed inside of a cage so you can say whatever you want. Safely.
Yeah, very safely. Safely, you know, the government's protecting you in there, so you're the safest you'd ever be. Anywhere.
Sounds very American. Very American.
So the majority of the people are outside of that area. There's tens of thousands of people there. It's beautiful. And Breitbart's walking around and they're live streaming and they're interviewing everybody. And it's beautiful. Everybody is it's so intelligent. There are people, you know, open carrying their ARs or whatever they are.
But on the outside of the caged area, I have to imagine.
Yes, where it'll be so the safest.
That would be amazing if the caged area actually has nobody in it and there's just tens of thousands of people outside of it.
For the most part, I think that's what's happening.
That would be great.
Yeah, because they can't do anything outside the caged area. The law is the law, right? And there's been some crazy stuff happening. I want to play. Apparently, there was a gentleman. This is floating around on Twitter this morning. So I want to play the two clips that I've got here. There's a gentleman that lives about 100 miles outside of the capital of Virginia where this rally is taking place, who went down there to kind of survey around, see what was going on, and check it out because he was planning on attending. And he's a Navy veteran. And the police showed up at his house on a, quote, credible tip that he was out for some wrongdoing.
Yeah, I saw this one.
Yeah, so I'm going to play both these because I think it's important. First one's about 2 minutes. Well, they're both about 2 minutes long. It's stunning to me. Listen, Virginia State Police drove over 100 miles to intimidate law-abiding citizens ahead of Lobby Day, a planned rally in support of the Second Amendment in Virginia. If it'll play. Of course. You know, whenever I don't want things to play, what happens?
Oh, this is just like this is a staple of my show. nothing ever plays. Yo,
by the way, before we play this, because the wheel is turning right now for some reason. Yeah. But before we play this, content is not available. Of course. Of course.
It's too dangerous to see police officers being sent like stormtroopers over 100 miles to talk to somebody who's been caught on tape tapping columns.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. But your show with the the gentleman's name on Friday, the JFK
John
guy.
John Barber.
It was fantastic. Just really great. Oh,
he's amazing.
He was John Barber. So enamored with you because you're so interested. And I guess it's not normal.
But you see, I think that this is just one of the – first of all, he has been doing such great work and it's very relevant. On top of everybody being enamored with the story of JFK and I mean every assassination always – draws some kind of curiosity, even in a morbid way, just because, oh man, you know, this had to, what was the circumstances that led up to this? Why was this person taken out? What was the importance of this? Does it affect anything greater beyond whatever? And to not only be able to talk about this from a historical standpoint, but from a relevant standpoint as to where we are right now today, it's so important to understand things, at least in my opinion, understand things like JFK and his termination, because it was perpetrated by the very same system that we are fighting today. The intelligence community, the media that propped it up and gaslighted a nation in its infancy. And you think about how bad the cancer is metastasized 50 some odd years later. So it's not only just it was a great opportunity to go take a trip down memory lane with somebody and talk history, but everything we are watching today is a product of the very same collection of organizations, agencies, and people. It's some people who are part of the plot are still alive, you know, so it's nuts.
Yeah. And, you know, you made the point on the show. I didn't listen to the whole interview, but I listened to a good chunk of it. And you made the point on the show, which is really, really, I think, important. And I found that my backup clip is working. But you made the point that now everybody has a cell phone camera. Everybody would have been recording. And it's just a much different world. And that's something I think is to the benefit and safety of some of the people who would otherwise be targeted.
Oh, yeah. Especially people who are just showing up to this gun rally today.
Yep.
Even just things like that. Forget about the safety of a president. You know, Abraham Zapruder standing there on the grassy knoll with his video recorder. That was a fluke in 1963. You would have 10,000 cell phone cameras recording in real time and streaming live. Every block, every city block, there would be that kind of attention on there. So that's why I said, and as we're watching right now, the method of assassination in this country has changed primarily to character assassination via the media and scandal and the 25th Amendment. And, I mean, they try to neutralize you in very different ways now because, of course, it's very hard to do anything out in the open as brazen as it once was.
Yeah. And I got to be honest, all the left, like Alyssa Milano, is tweeting away this morning about the people who are open carrying, walking through the streets of Virginia. If I am very much encouraged, Frank, by the numbers that we're seeing here and the passion of the people that are attending, because it gives me hope that if they really try to pull some they're going to be met with. I'm hopeful that we have not become as apathetic as it appeared we were.
Better late than ever. I think that there was so long, so many people were quiet and very patient, maybe not even patient, maybe distracted. And to be able to see this kind of a response makes me feel, at least to a certain degree, that if pushed to certain lengths, we aren't as lazy as I feared we are.
Yeah. And that's the safest rally that there ever will be.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Here's the clip of the poor guy, the Navy veteran, being harassed by the police because he decided to take a trip to his state's capital.
So the reason that we are here is we got a tip that somebody was coming down to the Capitol, and there was video footage of you at the Capitol, walking around the Capitol, which appeared to be checking into structures, and just seeing, getting a general surrounding of the Capitol and seeing what's going on.
See, real quick, if this guy wasn't filming them right now, their language would be a little different, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
He's struggling to justify what he's saying coming out of his mouth because he realizes how stupid it is.
Well, and it's not stupid. It's dangerous. He realizes, I have been sent here because we saw you walking around the – I mean, what are you – what kind of vulture-like scenario are you creating where you just have these law enforcement buzzards just circling the skies looking for anybody and using subjective – I mean, you think about the subjectivity that they apply to analyzing whether or not American citizens are suspicious. And once again, we have illegal immigrants driving, voting, coming across the border. I mean, you think about where we are lax.
Yeah.
And where they put all of their attention into. It's insulting.
It is. And why are they filming people down there? That's the other question. You know what I mean? Here.
Yeah.
Knocking on pillars, most likely.
Knocking on pillars. Densities. To check density.
Who knows?
Who knows?
So we got a tip and we're following up on some leads. So
Gentlemen, you know why I knocked on the damn pillars?
I don't.
Tell me everything you two know about the pillars on the damn Capitol right now.
They've been there for a long time.
Oh. What else do you know about them? They're trees. They're actually trees. Go do the damn tour. I knocked on them because I'm a builder and I was interested in the fact that they're trees that were plastered.
Okay, well.
I walked the Capitol as a free citizen and a free man because I'm going to attend the rally.
Okay.
And because I want to, for my safety, to know the surroundings.
And that's fine. That's
you two are a fine representative of what's going on here now. You have driven over 100 miles to harass a citizen on his front porch in Northumberland County based on a tip, which is exactly why the red laws are so bad, these red flag laws.
It wasn't just a tip, sir. So there are many law enforcement officers present that day and have been for a while. And so what they saw was what appeared to be pre-operational planning. And they were
what they saw was an intelligent American citizen who is situationally aware of the piss-poor job that y'all will do with my security. You are disarming me. You're putting me behind a gate. And yet still, as a free man, I'm going to come stand. Do you know what's in my backpack? My backpack will have first aid supplies. It will have a spray bottle. It will have bottled water, so I can help my fellow citizens when you bastards start spraying us.
That's number
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean,
pre-operational, what did he call it?
Pre-operational planning.
Pre-operational planning.
These it wasn't are, these just are a the, tip.
These are people who are part of the same civil law enforcement apparatus that was given a stand down order during the Charlottesville protest that they've been using for 2 years. They've been using for 2 years, allowed people to get hurt because one thing or another, because the pre-operational planning of some people there, they were okay with.
You know, if you note, they lied to him then in the first little opening statement. We got a tip, and then it wasn't just a tip. Well, what was it then, dude? Here's part two.
You could have made the phone.
I'd just be totally honest. I respect your rights. I understand your anger with us being here. I just want you to understand that I'm just here doing my job.
I perfectly understand that, but you know what the problem is?
Yes, sir.
The son of a bitches that loaded the Jews into the damn gas chambers, they were doing their job, too. At some point in time, you boys got to quit doing your job and understand that your job is a constitutional officer. You take an oath to uphold the Constitution. Yes. I took an oath to uphold the Constitution in the Navy. And you want to know something else? They don't tell you to take the oath back when you get your damn honorable discharge.
Well,
you leave under that oath.
Understand. And as of this point, I don't feel like I'm infringing on anybody's Constitution by knocking on someone's door to talk to
them. As of this point? What do you mean point. As of this point? You're going to infringe on them in a minute? What does that mean?
Yeah, because poking around and letting people know that you're being watched and observed is not a constitution. It shouldn't be interpreted as a infringement of constitutional rights, especially when it comes to privacy and living securely within your rights to privacy. You have two agents of the state that have traveled many miles to let you know that you have been watched and observed by law enforcement. For what? For what they have deemed pre-operational planning activity or behavior. Yeah. Up to this point, I don't think that I've infringed on that. You jackboot asshole.
There's a little more you want to hear?
I'm telling you, like I said before, a lot of people that that work with government, that got to look at themselves in the mirror
yeah.
and ask, what am I doing? The police officers are not exempt. I know that there's a lot of thin blue line rah-rah stuff going out there, and I have a lot of respect and gratitude for first responders. But I am not going to hold my tongue. Because there's a lot of bad ones out there.
Yeah, and you know the encouraging thing again before we finish this is that like they were interviewing a lot of people, and they obviously came across a bunch of military guys, and they were like, "Listen, we're here to take it. We took an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against enemies, foreign and domestic, and that oath is what guides us in our actions and our decisions, and we're not going to stand by and let out of control bureaucracy and you know." Whatever, take our this is our job. We're here to protect the Constitution. The people start stepping out of line of that, and here we are. And there's a lot of people like that. They take that. You are taking an oath, and you're putting your entire life and everything on the line to defend the values and God-given rights that we're given in this country. You don't take that lightly. Most people don't take that lightly, and they mean it when they do it. And here we go.
I feel like you are.
I understand that.
You could have made a phone call. You son of a bitches know everything, probably including what I had dinner for last night. You could have made a phone call. Hey, George Wagner, you got any issues with us? Nah, man.
You know that's not how.
Wasn't I surprised?
Yeah.
Because we live in such a police state that a man that walks around a facility like that. So I took pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I took pictures. How many damn people take pictures at the Capitol? How many pictures people go up and take a panorama of the Capitol and see what the view is from the Capitol steps?
Right.
But I had long hair.
No.
And I looked like a big old rough guy.
No.
And I looked like some kind of goddamn a right winger, whatever these other idiots y'all are arresting. That's the problem.
You want to know what you look like to me?
What's that?
You look like a good countryman, okay? Who I
hear you
respect. And I have no problem with you having your weapons and having your opinions. And having you go down there and take pictures. I'm up here because I was instructed to come up here.
I fully
and
understand.
Talk to you, okay? So that's why we're here. We just wanted to come up here and see if there's any bad intent, if there's any good intent, just to kind of get your word on what any intent you had being down there. That's all.
Friend, I got two artificial hips. I'm scheduled in June to get this one replaced again after 22 years.
Okay.
If I'm going to start a fight and kick anybody's ass, they're going to have to lay down beside me because I got one leg and it ain't that.
I just want to come here, get some, get a gauge as to whether or not we should continue watching you. And I think I have no problem with you having your weapons. What does that mean? It's like, I have no problem with you owning a PlayStation.
Yeah.
Do you understand? You understand that a weapon is a tool. What you should not have a problem with. And what you should be okay with is that there may be a situation in which this weapon needs to be used. That's the whole thing.
I mean, yeah. And you know, God only knows what the rest of their damn orders are.
Yeah.
If these guys are so, you know, diligent about following orders and all, you know.
That's the other part of all this stuff that everybody says, I don't care about you having your gun. As long as it's mounted on the wall and the ammunition is about 5 miles away from it.
In a safe.
You know, it's...
With three different locks.
In a safe, three locks, an iris scan. It's like this is
Here's a news clip from Good Morning America.
Up now, this line of stretches all the way down the block. A lot of these people have been here for more than 2 hours. It leads right up to the one entrance here at the state capitol. Doors open up at 7 o'clock. Everyone who goes inside will be screened. We are expecting thousands of gun rights protesters, along with members of some extreme militias. They could be here as well, protesting some new gun legislation. Local, state, and federal law enforcement are all involved. Ahead of this rally, seven alleged white supremacists with ties to the neo-Nazi group, the police have been arrested. Authorities saying that at least three of them were planning on attending. The governor declaring a state of emergency and banning all weapons from Capitol grounds. Now, you can see this list of prohibited items here right at the top, firearms. Now, while none of these items are permitted beyond this fence here outside where we're standing, all of those items are allowed. TJ?
Victor, no doubt officials there have learned some security lessons from Charlottesville in 2017.
Absolutely, TJ. So we're looking at a much bigger police presence, a tighter perimeter. Communication between all agencies should be much better this time around. And of course, that weapons ban is in place. TJ?
All right, Victor.
Because you know what happens, right? I mean, the criminals always abandon their weapons at the door. As soon as they see that sign, Frank, they drop them and run. As soon as they see it.
Yeah.
You know?
I just see it. I see a tweet here from Morgan J. Freeman. This is not what the founders had in mind. I don't think it's Morgan Freeman. Is it?
I don't know.
D. Morgan. It's whatever. This is not what it's a check mark person. Not what the founders had in mind when writing the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
This is not my America. Well, yeah, you're right. It's not your America. It's not your America. You're right. Hashtag I stand with Virginia. The founders, I know everybody. Well, they had muskets. It took 30 seconds to load another round. They also had cannon.
And can we talk about how woke Tim Pool is now, please? He says to that tweet, you're right. The founders literally shot and killed government soldiers. I think their view of the Second Amendment was much more brutal than a bunch of dudes walking around. Here's a sheriff.
Yep.
A sheriff, one of the most important law enforcement officials there is. Want to know why? They're elected by the people.
He should deputize 100,000 citizens today.
Here we go.
My name's Tripp Kester. As you can see, I'm here. I just want to personally.
Could you pull that mic up a little bit?
Is that better? Okay. I just want to personally and publicly go on record supporting this resolution before us this evening. You know, guys, it's simple. Like a lot of them have said, the Constitution needs no explanation. It's been enforced for several hundred years now. It's easy to understand. It says what it means. It means what it says. And the last time I read the Declaration of Independence, it specifically reminds all of us that we're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, which means God-given, among these life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and that governments were instituted among men specifically to secure our God-given rights. And it says when government becomes destructive to these ends, meaning when they go above and beyond trying to secure our liberties and trying to take them, it's the right of the people to alter or abolish that government, either by voting or ultimately, God forbid, to use our Second Amendment rights to protect ourselves from tyranny. And I'm just asking all of y'all to unanimously join our sister counties of Wilkes, Surrey, Stokes, Lincoln, and Cherokee and get on board with this thing and publicly demonstrate to us that you're willing to uphold and honor the same oath I took when I put my hand on God's word and held my other hand up to him and swore that I'd give my life to defend that Constitution. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but regardless of what y'all do or don't do, I'm not going to enforce an unconstitutional law. I'm going to...
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
That's all it takes. People need to stand up. Sheriffs, police, everyone. I think there's a lot more. There's a video floating around. A guy brought his son to soccer practice in New Hampshire, I guess it was. And they told him, you're going to have, you know, a hard time getting out of here because there's an Elizabeth Warren rally tonight at this complex. Half hour after this, quote, rally began, there were about 30 people.
There you go.
Oh, he's like, this is the big traffic incident that we're talking about. And
where was she holding the rally? In a Starbucks?
It was at this. She might as well have. It would have looked bigger.
Oh, would have looked bigger.
So...
Are people saying, I have to imagine that this is happening somewhere on the internet that the fact that the rallies are going down on Martin Luther King Day, it is supposed to be a big racist dog whistle.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, it has to be somewhere. Because, you know, you end up trying to wonder, okay, what are these crazies going to think? How far will they go with it? This has to be something that they're jumping on. It's Martin Luther King Day. Look at all these white people with guns. I can just hear it. Oh, I see all these pictures now. Jack Posobiec tweeted out a picture of Virginia sheriffs out there demonstrating with people, we support the Second Amendment. Oh boy.
Yeah. Don't come for really? Our guns over no, our dead really. Body. Isn't that what it's they say?
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
And there are some people out there, gun rights are trans rights. And I understand that because if anybody needs to arm themselves, it's people like that.
Yeah. And not only that, but once again, especially very ironic coming from Governor Blackface here that you look at this and you hearken back to what the basis of gun control was. And it goes so deep. But gun control in its very beginnings was very racist. Just like marriage, the issuance of marriage licenses was to prevent interracial marriage. Gun control was a way to disarm freed slaves and free black citizens. 100%.
Well, yeah, that's what they were saying earlier. A couple of guys were saying that. Like, there were some people that were being interviewed that were upset that people were displaying their firearms. Like, they're saying, basically, they were saying, you know, we're here, we're carrying, but we're trying to, you know, put a certain image out there. Because there are some people that are being a little obnoxious with it, of course, you know what I mean? And to be honest, a lot of them have their faces covered, which makes me question their allegiances, because most people don't cover their faces. It's freezing out there. It is freezing out there, but you want to, I'm floating through Posobiec's timeline right now. You want to listen to a couple of interviews that are going on?
Yeah, play whatever you'd like.
Yeah, let's listen to this white supremacist.
Basically, I'm out here because I get roped into it by the group of guys you see standing to my right. But the real reason I'm out here is I do not support in any way, shape, or form Governor Northam's and the Democrats' gun control. What I also don't support is the fact that every news piece you've seen on this weekend, they've always brought up the issue of race as though it's nothing but white rednecks and hillbillies out here who care for the Second Amendment, when actually black Americans, Asian Americans, Hispanic Americans, Americans in general, they care about the Second Amendment. I work at a gun store part-time, and I can't tell you the number of customers I see of all races, all colors, all creeds, who care about the Second Amendment and who just want to peaceably live their lives, enjoy their rights, and the Second Amendment. So that's why I'm out here. And big media, mainstream media, be damned. If you take a good look at me, you can see I'm a black American. And all I'm out here for is to enjoy my Second Amendment rights. That's why I'm here.
Great. And tell us about, what do you think about the cordoning off that's going on out here of the capital area?
You know what? It's great. What we ought to do is everybody just walk up with master locks, put master locks on the gates, and lock that bastard in. To be quite honest, shut up. What I honestly think about it is, it's wrong. This is our capital. We pay for these grounds. This is not some place for the king to hold up in. This is our capital. This is our state. We have the right to petition for redress of our government, of our grievances. And our grievance today is their treatment of us and the Second Amendment. So.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yes, indeed. I have a link here, Tracy. It's very, very well researched. I got to send it to you. You should put it in the show notes. This was written by Clayton E. Kramer in 1993. It's called The Racist Roots of Gun Control.
Oh, cool.
And, oh, man, it's definitely – I'm going to send it to you right now so people can just get a little bit of history and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'll stick it down in the show notes for today.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, this is like – I know we're talking about – this a long time today, but I think it's super important, And there are, like
I said, it's going to dominate the news. It's going to dominate the news. And you know what? It's starting off a week that is going to be so tumultuous because, of course, what is it, tomorrow or Wednesday that the trial starts?
It's tomorrow.
Jeez.
It's tomorrow. Yep. And let's be honest, you know, it's going to be like this all week. It's going to be all week. It's going to be tomorrow. I think it's Volker, Vindman, and we got to hear from Vindman again, Frank. It's Vindman and that chick that used to that worked for Pence tomorrow.
Who, Fiona Hill?
No, I had it up last night.
But why are they all coming back?
I don't know. I guess the Senate wants to hear from them too. Call witnesses as well.
Telling you, I no matter what, some people are going to cry foul out there. What does fair trial mean? We hear, well, we need to ensure that there's going to be a fair trial. Fair trial, and you have people like Nancy Pelosi saying, regardless of what the Senate does, he's always going to be impeached. He is forever impeached. He can't reverse. The president can't reverse what the House has done. They have impeached him. So what on earth could a fair trial be to these numbskull lunatics aside from conviction and removal? So I don't understand why any overtures were made to appease these people with new rounds of witnesses, even though we had 6 weeks of them improvising a damn impeachment story. They were improvising everything from the transcripts to bringing witnesses in that had nothing to do with anything, academics to just to play a role. It was like a play. It was like a Broadway production. So you're never going to get anybody that is satisfied with anything short of removal of the president. So why the hell were any concessions made to begin with? It should have been thrown out on its ass. No court in the country would take a case like this.
Well, speaking of that, you know, Peter Schweitzer's book is coming out tomorrow. His new book that he wrote, Profiles in Corruption, Abuse of Power by America's Progressive Elite. He has an article today in the New York Post, how 5 members of Joe Biden's family got rich through his connections. It starts off, political figures have long used their families to route power and benefits for their own self-enrichment. One particular politician, Joe Biden, emerges as the king of the sweetheart deal, with no less than 5 family members benefiting from his largesse, favorable access, and powerful position for commercial gain. It's James Biden, his younger brother, obviously his son Hunter. They go into detail. It's a long article. Howard Krein. I believe it is Howard Krein? Father-in-law, Frank Biden, and Valerie Biden Owens. Good book. Amazing how they freak, because they were trying to, like, you know, come up against these stories right before the, you know, Peter Schweitzer does great work. So.
Yeah, he does. I was given another one of his books for Christmas.
You are so far behind on your book reading.
Oh, I'm done. It's over. I would never get through what I have to read before 2024. No way in hell. I'm done. And people keep sending me books. I'm like, okay, well, I guess this will be for my next lifetime. I'm building a great library. I should start. I start charging people
to write down books,
take books out. Yeah,
you know what's funny? I have to get a bookshelf now too myself, because I have them all in a stack instead of displayed as they should be.
I have 3 big bookshelves that are filled and stacked in certain ways to make more room and get more books. And I still have 2 Roman columns of books behind me on the floor that have no space, because we need a bigger place. Maybe one day when we're in a house, I can have an entire room that's just bookshelves.
A huge library.
A study.
A huge library. There's Gabe Gutierrez is one of the NBC News anchors, I guess, who's covering this. And he says, chance of we will not comply from gun rights protesters in Richmond. But if you listen to the video, they're actually reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. I guess that does mean we will not comply. Freaking ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they found an Antifa guy confused or just, you know, like a dressed up like a gun protester. And they're calling him out on video here. Look, punk,
we know
what you're about. You're an infiltrator. Get the F out.
Who posted that?
Let me get it for you. Hold on.
You know, in the meantime there, too, another thing there is all the news coming out of Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah. I've got that on tap to talk about as well. Yeah. So, you know, they used the lies that President Trump didn't support Puerto Rico during Hurricane Maria to completely, you know, try to trash him, say he was anti-immigrant, anti-Hispanic. He didn't, you know what I mean? You remember, obviously, you brought it up. And it turns out there have been over 1,500 earthquakes since December 28th in Puerto Rico. Well over 1,500. There were 603 days. Something big is going on down there. And so people are sleeping outside. They're scared to be inside structures. There's, you know, some they were just the other day that there was supposedly all the power was on and everything was okay. But people discovered a warehouse stacked full of supplies that they never gave out during the hurricane. They hid them in a warehouse and these people found it and you know, looted the warehouse. And they're furious right now.
Yeah. Well, this is what I was talking about last night with some friends of mine, and it just goes to show when you're observing what is being sold to people, doesn't even matter if they're Americans, wherever the hell this progressive virus is looking to lay claim to anything, the economy, the culture, whatever it is, it's very, very greedy. They don't actually care about people. In fact, they don't have any ideas that people want. They don't have any ideas that really work. In fact, the only idea they have is acquisition of power. So the biggest idea that they do have and that they always promote is the idea that there is pain that they can give you relief from. And it is through bringing attention to pain that they're actually able to create tension in society that leads to pain. And when they find it, here it is once again. They've already lied about what was going on down in Puerto Rico. It's the same kind of lies you see spread out elsewhere. But here is the proof. Here's the proof that what they had said in the past about them being neglected and all that is nonsense. But it doesn't matter because it could still be used to keep people upset. And if so, you look at this constant concentration on how to keep people in an uncomfortable situation, physically and otherwise. It's like, boy, oh boy, what kind of a world are they really trying to create here? They don't want to help anybody. They seriously don't care about anybody.
What they would do to their own people. You know what I mean? What really did he accomplish? What did it accomplish?
Nothing, because you think about it this way. First of all, they're covering up, largely always doing this, covering up for loyal local authority, local politicians who are helping out foreign interests. In this case, local politicians in Puerto Rico are helping out the domestic media over here in the United States denigrate the president and the administration under Trump for failing to respond to people in need. So they're lending a hand to the media in America, while at the same time, the media in America are using that and diverting away from their friends in Puerto Rico who are taking vital resources people need to survive and creating a lucrative black market out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you really think about the depths to the depravity here. It's there's no excuse for supporting these people.
I don't understand. Goodness. Here's something good, right? Yesterday was the Women's March, I believe. You know, I heard this was from Fox News, that there were fewer people at the Women's March this year than are in President Trump's overflow crowds.
I saw the trending topics because you knew Twitter would get behind that. And I just rolled my eyes and I went along with my day and nothing changed.
I didn't look at anything from it.
I saw one or two funny clips, though, of these sourpuss feminists that were making statements for cameras, just like, you know, cell phone cameras. It wasn't like what's it called, the nasty woman, whatever stuff that was going on in New York. But I took one or two things that I thought were embarrassing enough to be funny. So maybe I'll throw that up on the show tonight. But yeah, it just came and went, and I just yawned.
Yeah, yeah. I was talking to Brandon yesterday.
Yeah.
He was around there. He actually was on C-SPAN, and he took calls on C-SPAN from people, which I think is really cool.
How'd that go?
He said it was great. He took calls from both sides, obviously, because it was C-SPAN. And he said they had to stop one of them because he was using the N-word on the left.
Who was the guy on the phone? The line?
Yeah, yep.
He was calling Brandon an N-word.
No, he was saying something to the effect of, like, it was something
hard. Oh wait, is it hard R N-word or N-word A?
No, it was a hard R.
Oh, what the?
And obviously, it's live, so they had to cut him off.
Jeez. Get yourself under control, you freaks. It's like when you don't see these words and these sentiments actually being used. So you take Brandon for an example, and I know that you were talking about another walkaway march in October. You take Brandon for example, and people like him who have thrown all of their creative powers behind these social gatherings and rallies and all that stuff, and there is no bad will, and there is none of this ugliness.
Nope.
In sight. None of this ugliness is in sight, but still people call up and they use this ugliness to project this ugliness onto something that is verifiably clean of it. There's like nothing there. Seriously. So it's like, just stop being so gross, man. It really just goes to show how if people just put their attention elsewhere and stop actually perpetuating the nonsense with their mouths, it all goes away. Because this whole we're living in a racist, fascist United States, it really is like the hallucination in Billy Madison where he keeps seeing the penguin. He's drunk off of his ass. He keeps seeing the penguin, but it's not really there. That's what I think the whole fascist USA stuff is really about when the left is out there screaming about it. They're drunk off of their delusions, and they're seeing these fascist penguins all over the place. But and the rest of us are like, please stop.
It reminds me of that dude that, you know, Veritas got on tape from the Sanders campaign.
Yeah.
Like – Any objective person can listen to him and be like, who's the fascist? I mean, wow. I'm just blown away by some of this stuff, for real. There's a lot going on today. I'm trying to keep on top of everything.
Well, I think we're handling it pretty well.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously we'll be covering this impeachment farce, or I will. And I have somebody for Uncover DC on the ground there, too. So I'm hoping to get out a whole bunch of some video and an article or so, or two or three from there. And also we're going to CPAC. So that's exciting.
Nice. When is that?
February 26th. It starts. Did you see the video from the woman who is, we played her video on the show the day after the Soleimani attack, where she was, when we were on video and I was playing it, and she was saying how happy and thankful she was that he was killed. It was an Iraqi woman who was an American now, an Iraqi immigrant. Anyway,
I don't remember.
Yeah, well, she's running for Congress against Ilhan Omar.
Oh, yeah. What's her name? Dalia? I forget. Okay, it was, because I remember her name was trending, and then I saw Dan Bongino retweet her out there. I got to see her campaign commercial.
Isn't it? Wasn't that beautiful?
Hey, I mean, hits all the points as far as choice in the matter. It's like you have a refugee woman, a Muslim, but she's just a person that embraces the country instead of playing this snake in the grass act that Ilhan Omar has committed herself to and probably had no chance of avoiding. It's probably just the way she was raised, to be honest.
I like to see some positive stuff. Seeing all these people today, I wish I could have gone. I couldn't go because tomorrow is William's birthday, my little William.
Oh.
He'll be 11.
Happy birthday, William.
It's also my parents' anniversary, so happy anniversary to my parents. Still
happy
married.
Happy anniversary.
And then Sunday is my anniversary to Mr. Beans.
Well, wow.
Yeah.
Lauren and I just, we just scheduled ourselves 3 days away in May for our anniversary.
Well, for the first time in a long, 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 long time, my husband and I are going away for a little staycation ourselves this weekend.
A staycation. Those are always great.
Yeah, because we live in a cool area where you don't have to travel too far to get to someplace really nice. So, and you might be hearing my dogs. I got dogs. I adopted two Maltese on Friday.
You have new friends in the house. That's great.
Yeah, they're so...
The kids like them?
They love them. They're so cute. My goodness, I love those dogs. But they bark a little bit, so... But I'm happy to have them. So anyway, it's going to be a good weekend. And I'm going to keep on top of this stuff. I got, a lot of stuff going on in the background, of course. And I think that's good for today, Frank. What do you think?
Absolutely. It really is. When you take a step back... you can always find tons of things to talk about, but it really is a single issue day because not only is the rallies down in Virginia just starting and the whole entire day is before us, but we know the way that this has been hyped up, how it has been billed, the way that it's being spun and characterized and mischaracterized. So it's probably best that everybody stays hyper vigilant today and just keep an eye on it. It's a solitary issue day, and it will become a little bit more dispersed as impeachment trial week progresses starting tomorrow. But this is I'm pretty sure this is where everybody's eyes are going to be.
Agreed. And I'm working on confirming something, a guest on the show for probably next Monday or Wednesday. And as soon as I have that confirmed, I will let you know. But I'm hoping that it works out and I'll be able to excitedly announce who we will be interviewing on the show, Frank.
Oh, I can't wait. You know who I'm going to be interviewing on February 11th? I have no clue how this is going to go.
Who?
John McAfee.
Oh my gosh, really?
And the best thing is that I have to go to the studio at 4 p.m. Eastern time early to interview him because wherever he is hiding out, I guess the time zones makes 7 o'clock a little bit too it's just not feasible. So, I mean, I have no clue where this is.
What are you going to be asking him?
Well, obviously, he has declared his candidacy for 2020 again. So I might ask him about his running mate and what he's running on and all that. But I mean, there's so much as far as cybersecurity goes, as far as. Even he's been tweeting a lot about the Epstein case lately. I want to bring that up because I'm sure he knows that for a couple of weeks there, people were suspecting that he was the one providing all of the Epstein Island drone footage from the boat.
Yep.
But he's been tweeting so much about it. I don't know. I only have 30 to 40 minutes.
It, only? It,
Listen, it's gonna be a roller coaster.
What'd you do? Just reach out to him?
Well, he reached out to the internet. He said anybody with more than, you know, a couple of hundred subscribers or a couple of hundred views, just reach out. We're looking to do all types of podcasts in 2020. And I had several of my libertarian ANCAP friends who think that he's just a hilarious personality at the very least, even though they pay attention to him on a number of levels, especially gun rights and all that. You can't say that he is anti-Second Amendment. And they said, you got to reach out. So I had about half a dozen people urge me, and I made sure that I just sent the email quick, and I got a response in 48 hours.
Wow. Yeah. Well, good for you. That's exciting.
It's going to be interesting. That's
for sure. I can't
wait
to see that noise.
So
that's going to go in your highlight reel at the end of the year.
I've already got a number of 2020 highlights.
This has been, I got to be honest, Frank. This year, on a personal level, especially so far, has been batshit crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. We're only 20 days in, Tracy. And think about everything that's on our plates.
It's literal insanity. I'm not kidding. Like, if I was more like public about stuff, you guys would be like, okay, all right, enough already. Like, and it's not even an exaggeration. It has been a batshit crazy 20 days.
We got 11 more to go in the first month of the year. 11 more to go. And then we're only going to be 10 months away from Election Day.
Gosh.
It's going to drip. I'm telling you, it's going to be late July. The next time you blink, it's going to be late July. The first half of the year is going to go away. We got primaries. We've got the build up toward the debates. We got to get over the impeachment hump still. Who knows? I remember telling myself in November of 2016, right after the election, right when we were starting to hear about people urging all of the Electoral College electors to be defectors and not put in their votes. That was the first thing that Hollywood and the assholes tried doing. And I remember saying to myself right there in late November, around Thanksgiving 2016, I was saying, God knows what's going to be going on in April 2017. I said, I wish I can talk to future self and hear what future self has to say. And I heard myself. It was November 2016. I heard myself from April 2017 telling myself, Frank, you have no clue.
No idea. And then 19.
I can't tell you. It's going to cause one of those Back to the Future paradoxes. I can't tell you, but you have no clue. But now here we are in 2020. What's going to happen in May?
Well, maybe we'll close it off today listening to some highlights from the Klobuchar campaign, and that'll help us out.
Okay.
The president actually sent out a tweet. He made fun of me for talking about climate change in the middle of a blizzard, and he called me Snow Woman. So I wrote back, hey, Donald Trump, the science is on my side, and I'd like to see how your hair would fare in a blizzard. So I wrote back, hey, Donald Trump, the science is on my side, and I'd like to see how your hair would fare in a blizzard. So I wrote back, Donald Trump, the science is on my side.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see how your hair would fare in a blizzard. Sometimes, if you haven't noticed, you use a little humor. Like when he called me Snow Woman at my announcement in the middle of that thing.
Boy,
I wrote back
pony.
On Twitter, yeah. I'd like to see how your hair would fare in a blizzard. So I wrote back, hey, Donald Trump. So I wrote back, hey, Donald Trump. So I wrote back. I wrote back. I tweeted back. The science is on my side. And I'd like to see
Tracy, can I tell you
something? She needs a fork at every campaign stop.
Oh, my. First of all, that sounds like every woman in Rye, New York, ordering their Starbucks.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. That scene right there is going on right now at a Starbucks in Rye, New York. and it's not going to stop until 7 p.m. And then the other thing is, I sit back – before I got on the air with you, I wrote out – I think I have about 15 postcards. It's part of one of my Patreon perks. I wrote 15 postcards for the month of January that I have to go mail out after we're done. Outside of those 15 postcards, I am going to also send out about 30 Polaroids to people. That's another perk I have.
I love that.
Outside of that, I have to write 2 handwritten letters and 1 typewritten letter. All of the – I swear to God – every time somebody donates a dollar, pledges a dollar on Patreon, they get a personalized email, a thank you from me. They get a thank you on PayPal, whatever it is. I have never, aside from a couple of, you know, cheesy sign-off lines or whatever, every note, every time I have spoken to people, I never repeat myself.
Same.
I try to find something new to tell people, and I put the time into at least thinking up something new. The fact that she can go around and do a tour of this one joke is embarrassing.
No, it is. And you're right, because in my perspective, and this is why sometimes it takes me so long to get back to people, because from my perspective, Frank, it's like these people are taking time out of their day or taking money out of their own wallet and budget every month to support me. Like, it is disrespectful to send some blanket form letter or you know what I mean?
Yep.
Anyway.
There is definitely no automated messages in my life. And for this woman to turn an automated joke into the key tenet of her campaign's attempt to show that she has personality is just embarrassing. Pack it in.
Yeah.
Just pack it
in. And she says hair the same way, in a blizzard. He goes, my hair in a blizzard.
Can you imagine? I said it. I said that. Can you imagine? I said that.
I tweeted back at him. I have my staff provide me forks for my hair in a blizzard. What about sparks? You can use sparks too.
That's it. Oh, gee, golly, gosh.
You have been listening to the Dark Delight podcast with
Happy Martin Luther King Day, everybody. I was just kidding before. He deserves to be acknowledged. And it's Val. And
me, Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and on RadioInfluence.com. We will see you on Wednesday.
Later.
This is a place for my head quick picks on Radio Influence.
How's this for a number? The number of police officers who died by suicide in 2019 was more than double the number killed in the line of duty. 132 cops were shot and killed in the line of duty last year. 132.
Uh-huh.
I'm surprised it's not more than that, but 132.
It's a lot.
228 suicides in the police force. That's a crazy number.
Yeah.
What are we doing to help these guys?
Nothing, apparently. What aren't we doing? Like, we're not doing anything, does it seem like?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the damn problem.
A Place for My Head with Brandon Thompson and Jerry P. Tuck can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.